There we go. So me being me, and I'm not very organized, so I had to, I didn't print this off because I didn't have time. So it's on my Mac today. So there you go. So tonight I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, about blind Bartimaeus, or should we call him previously blind Bartimaeus? And I'm reading from the NLT. So here we go, verse 46. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, and this is the key verse, "Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now tonight I'm going to be talking about blind Bartimaeus, or as I mentioned before, previously blind Bartimaeus, because Jesus came along and did an amazing miracle. And I absolutely love this story. In fact, I love any story involving Jesus, because Jesus is just so unexpected in the Bible, and he just breaks so many chains and so many just misconceptions that even we have. And I read and I just go, wow, Jesus, you are amazing. But tonight we're kind of going to focus on Bartimaeus and what he can teach us rather than more about Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not going to go off on a mad one, but we're going to focus on Bartimaeus. So Bartimaeus's life, the Bible doesn't say that much about Bartimaeus. We don't actually know that much. We don't know how old he was. We don't know how long he's been blind for, whether he was blind from the start of his life or whether he was blind from an accident that he might have. But to be honest, this isn't important because this isn't the heart of the passage. So Bartimaeus is sat outside of Jericho. And his reality is he'll be begging, he'll be asking for food, for drink, for money. Because he's blind, he probably won't be able to do all these things for himself. And another thing that Mark doesn't tell us is he doesn't say how Bartimaeus knew about Jesus. But Bartimaeus clearly knows that Jesus is the Messiah. In verse 47 it says, "When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And that Son of David bit is the really important bit. Isaiah 11 verse 1. "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root." So people in Jesus' day were expecting this Messiah to be a son of David, a son of a son of a son of David, not literally David's son, but from David's line. And they were expecting him to save Israel and just to come and save Israel from oppression and all these other things. And see, when Bartimaeus is declaring, "Son of David, have mercy on me," everybody would have known that Bartimaeus is talking about the Messiah. Bartimaeus clearly knows who Jesus is. Bartimaeus clearly knows the power of Jesus. And he runs up to him shouting, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Forgets what everyone else is saying. Verse 48, "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. And he just shouts louder, "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me." And then when he gets up to Jesus, to be honest, Jesus asked a pretty stupid question, I think, which I don't like to say about Jesus because he was the Messiah and he changed the world and kind of saved everyone's life. But verse 51, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, I'm sorry, Jesus, but Bartimaeus is clearly blind. And he's asking, he's coming up to you and you ask him what you want him to do for you. I mean, in my mind, that's just stupid. But Jesus does this for such a good reason, because he wants to see your faith. See, I think life would be boring if Jesus just came about and did stuff for us, did the things that we need him to do, even before we ask him to do. And he wants to see if you know what you want and if you have the faith to ask him. See, it's key that Bartimaeus has the faith to ask him, because so often, and I'm guilty of this, so often we have that "but what if," that doubt that maybe Jesus won't do what his word says, or Jesus won't do what he's promising me. And that's the devil. That's the devil just saying, what if he's not real? What if he doesn't exist? What if his word is not correct? What if he doesn't show up? And this is where we need to have faith, to block out the things of the world like Bartimaeus did. And again, in verse 48, the people shouted, "Be quiet." But we need to block those out. We need to block the haters out, as they would say. And we just need to focus on Jesus and strive for Jesus. See, Bartimaeus could have just asked for money. He could have asked for water. He could have asked for food. But he knew who Jesus really was. And he fixed his eyes on Jesus, didn't let the devil distract him. And he asked for only what Jesus could give, which is life-transformational healing. When Jesus says, "What do you want?" Bartimaeus says, "I want to see." And verse 52, Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Because of Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus and because he knew who he was, his expectation of what Jesus was going to do is so, so big. And if there's one thing I want you to take away from what I'm trying to get across here, it's this. And if you're taking notes, this would be what you'd write down probably. When you know who Jesus really is, all that he wants for you and all that he can do for you, your expectation of what he can do, what he will do, and what he wants to do in and through you should be greater than anything else. As I was preparing this, I knew I wanted to speak about expectation, and I knew that was what God placed on my heart. And the more I kind of delved into God's word, the more I kind of realized expectation isn't really mentioned in the Bible. And I was like, oh man, you're going to have to come up with something good here now. But God just spoke to me. God said expectation is actually just an outworking of faith. It's the fruit of faith. It is you get faith, and then you have expectation to carry out that faith and the expectation of what Jesus wants to do. So I was going to bring a ball, but I forgot to bring one again. So I've got a little illustration. So I have faith in science, and more specifically gravity. So gravity, if you don't know what it is, it basically stops you floating away and dying and stuff. It's pretty cool. It's good. See, I have faith in gravity and what it can do. So this pen, for example, if I drop it, what's going to happen? It's going to hit the floor, yeah? See, Isaac Newton was right. I'm going to do it again, just check it wasn't a fluke. There we go. I'm going to do it three times because that's God's number. Yeah, there we go. So I have faith in gravity, but my expectation is this pen is going to hit the ground. See, this is the difference between expectation and faith. Faith is your hope in something, and your expectation is what you think is going to happen because of it. You can have faith in other things, though. So, for example, last night, me and my girlfriend, Haley, we ordered a takeaway from Marino's, which, by the way, is better than the Italian auction for about three times cheaper. It's incredible. Like, seriously, the meatballs are unbelievable. But that's not the point. See, Haley, we ordered it, and then Haley said, "Oh, I'll go and collect it." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, cool." She said, "If you set the table for when we get back, that'd be good." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, okay, good." And me being me, I get distracted very, very, very easily. Like, I just go off on one. I'm like, oh, things, lights, keyboards, Nords, nice. But you see, Haley placed her faith in me, and her expectation was that I was going to set the table and make it look really, really nice. But because I got distracted, I didn't. And she came back in, and I was like, "Oh," and she was like, "John, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I don't know, I forgot." And she's like, "Oh, it's okay, we'll just do it now." Praise the Lord for a forgiving girlfriend, hey? But you see, this is the point. Humans fail all the time. Daily, we don't live up to our expectations so much, and the world fails. All you need to do is just turn on the news to see that, to see the devastation about what's happening in Syria. The devastation with the refugee crisis, all just everything around the world just seems to be just falling apart. And this is the problem with humans and material things. See, this Mac will probably stop working in about 5 years' time. If it was a PC, it'd be three, but because it's a Mac, it'll be five, because Macs are great. Product placement for Apple. I did put this over a sticker over here, but buy Apple things. I don't know. But the Bible thing is the only thing in this world that will remain. The Bible is the only thing that is constant throughout history. See, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday when this book was written, when Jesus healed Bartimaeus, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead of the dead, when Jesus parted the Red Sea for Moses. He's the same today. It is the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, and the same God that wants to work in you today and forever, tomorrow, when you go into your workplace. When you go into whatever the week has got prepared for you, God is still faithful. When we base our expectation on the Bible, it will never fail. We sung Oceans before, and it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. And I think that's just such an amazing testament to what we can expect from God. We can just put our absolute faith in God, and he will always provide. Don't let your expectation be set by the world or your experiences, but let it be set by the word of God, because it will never fail you. So, what is my challenge for you tonight? Do you know who Jesus really is? And just a side note, if you don't, I'd love more than anything in the world for you to come up to me, come up to Andrew, Joanna, Diana, Luke, or just anyone, or the prayer team. They'll be at the back on the chairs. Give us a wave if you're in the prayer team tonight. Woo, yeah, prayer team. Cool. They'll be wearing purple lanyards. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to, or you just want to find out more about him, please come and speak to one of us, because it'll be our great privilege to introduce you to this life-changing person. So, but if you do know who Jesus is, if you know that he is the Messiah, that he is the God above all things, that he is for us and not against us. Like we sung before again in that second song, if God is for us, then who can stand against us? Our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other. He is higher than any of our doubts. He is higher than any of our problems that we are going through. And also a thing that we've been discussing it. So I play in the band, if you don't know, quite a lot. I'm more comfortable like stood behind here, not up here, but that's fine because God has called me to do this. But anyway, we've been discussing about expectation a lot, and we want people to feel expectation when they come into the services. And I so often think that you almost get what you put into church, not in a sense of serving, which, by the way, if you're not serving, serving is probably one of the greatest privileges I've ever had to do in my entire life. I absolutely love serving God's people and serving God. If you're not serving, again, chat to Andrew or Joanna, and they would love to try and accommodate you. But we've been chatting about expectation, and yeah, you get what you almost come in. If you come in thinking, oh, it's just going to be the same old service, I mean, Andy Cross is playing keyboards. Andy Cross is rubbish at keyboards. Andy Cross is great at keyboards, by the way. He's an incredible pianist. Or like, oh, this person's preaching, this person's hosting, or whatever. If you come in with that kind of mindset that it's just going to be pretty average, then I think you're just going to get an average service. But We don't believe in an average God. Our God that we believe in is so much greater and so much higher than average. He is incredible. And if you just come in thinking, I'm ready to be challenged, I'm ready to be changed by God's word, which is sharper than a double-edged sword, I'm ready just to have everything I've thought about ripped apart and just put back together by Jesus. And I just want to say, just be expectant for God to show up in absolutely everything that you do, in your family, in your workplace, and in church. And I want to leave you with a verse from John 14, or a set of verses. It's John 14, 15 to 18. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And isn't that just a testament to God will never ever leave us? No matter what situation we find ourselves in, God will never leave us. So have great expectation. If you place your faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, expect that he will do all the things that he says in his word. And I believe your life will flourish and Jesus will just come in and completely change you. Thank you very much.